New Hampshire. New Hampshire. Manchester, to be specific. This Saturday, we are bringing our first in the nation primary special. The We're Not Wrong show comes to you, New England. Yes. Saturday the 20th, 7 p.m. at Touchere Brewing, T-O-S-H-A-R-E, Brewing. It is myself, Andrew Heaton, and Jen Briney. We're Not Wrong, first in the nation primary, Saturday the 20th, 7 p.m., and that is a free show at Touchere Brewing in Manchester. See you there.
Old New Hampshire, old New Hampshire, old New Hampshire, grand and gray. We will sing of old New Hampshire, of the dear old Granite State.
Heaton, I want everybody to know this is the happiest day that you've done this show in a while for many reasons, but I would say probably the biggest right now is you have a handheld mic.
I have a handheld mic, and I have to say, in terms of the carbohydrate to temperature ratio, this is the greatest place I've ever been in my entire life. For every 1 degree of heat that is enjoyed in the state, you have 100 calories of carbohydrates. It's amazing. My belly is laden with all sorts of interesting fried foods, but I go outside, I get an ice cream headache because it's so cold. I'm having a wonderful time. I'm having a great time in Iowa.
Were you aware that you were born for Iowa?
I did not know, but I might run for president just to come back to Iowa at this point. I've enjoyed Iowa so much.
Andrew Heaton looking at menus in Iowa should be its own podcast.
Oh,
it is just like, oh, corn.
Corn,
oh,
a lot of cheese.
Corn dip?
There's some kind of weird S-shaped hot dog y'all like. It's called like a Dutch,
oh, Dutch
hot
letters.
Dog or something. Dutch letters.
Dutch letters.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We went to a cigar bar today, which basically consisted of me and Heaton sitting next to a couple folks who watched YouTube videos with us. They had a big Roku. And they just kept putting on, they were like, well, what do you want to watch? So it's me and Andrew Heaton and two other random strangers that we had never met before just finding out what we wanted to watch on YouTube. And so we settled on Iowa shit. They literally typed in Iowa shit. And I would like to ask our studio audience here, can you guys take any guess as to what was the predominant result for the YouTube search Iowa shit? Any hands? Any hands? One in the back? Pig shit. Not pig shit.
I like the practical answer, though.
Oh, the kinds of shits you find in Iowa?
No. I like this. Okay, for the right, if I could interject for a moment. All right, I used to live in Washington, D.C., and I feel like Washington is a sir, I will transfer you state, whereas Iowa is, I got one in the back. That's Iowa. Fucking practical, get the job done. Yes, like the answer. But no, it wasn't pig shit.
It was not pig shit. I will narrow it down by saying it was a musical act. A musical act that is synonymous with Iowa. Slipknot! Yes! All Slipknot. For whatever reason, when you type Iowa shit into YouTube, it is nothing but for the maggots. It is all Slipknot.
Although, this fine state deserves credit for killing Buddy Holly.
Yep.
Finally took out that monster. Well done, Iowa.
Yep, the big bopper.
Also, Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat in this state. So a lot of musical history has happened here in the great state of Iowa. Really? Yeah. Are they cool? Are they
all of them? Wait, so the audience, somebody in the audience said Slipknot's our neighbor, but they don't all live together like Alvin and the Chipmunks or anything.
Oh, nice, okay.
Sid from Slipknot.
My favorite Slipknot. Yeah, that's nice. Nice.
For the record, we have had two conversations about Slipknot, and the first one was I went to high school with Slipknot, and the second one was I'm neighbors with Slipknot.
Yeah, nice.
So deep roots.
Other things I've learned about Iowa, which, again, falling in love with, there's a hobo museum. Did you? My God, how is this not known and appreciated throughout the world, let alone America? There's a hobo museum, and there's an annual hobo festival. The chair recognizes James. What, James?
Yep. We did that once.
Yeah? Audience says they make a big stew you can eat. There's a lot of stewing going on at the Hobo Conference.
A lot of fingerless nice. Gloves.
Yeah.
Do they put out cooling pies that you can steal from the windowsill?
Also, apparently y'all nearly went to war in 1830 with Missouri over honey. Is this taught in your schools? Allow me to educate you, Iowa. There's an event called the Honey War of 1830 where a federal land surveyor got the line wrong. And so someone from Missouri came into Iowa to tax the people and got into a shooting war with a sheriff. And they ended up burning down a grove of honey, which prompted local militias to come. And the federal government had to come in and stop it because we wanted to, not blow our load. We wanted to wait till 1860 before we started shooting each other. But you guys were ahead of the game. So congratulations. Go for it. We just heard. No.
If you want to tell an Iowa joke, you have to come up here and tell it into the mic, because otherwise the audience can't hear it. But while you are coming up here, we will say from Back Pocket Pin and Pixel in Johnson, Iowa. I'm Justin Robert Young.
I'm Andrew Heaton.
And Jen Briney is here in spirit, but we're not wrong. On this edition of the program, we are going to talk about the Iowa caucus. We're going to have our own little We're Not Wrong Iowa caucus to see whether or not we can presage the events that will happen here in the Hawkeye State. But before any of it happens, we're going to hear a joke. So come on up. Please tell the listeners what your name is.
My name is Alex, Iowa native.
Alex, we're from in Iowa.
I grew up in Ames.
Great place,
Ames. Do me a favor. Eat that mic so everybody can hear you.
So sometimes in Iowa we like to say that if we returned the bottom third of Iowa to Missouri, the average IQs of both states would go up.
Nice. Nice. That's a good one. I like it. It's a statistical joke, among other things, which is why I like it. It deals with medians and averages.
I don't get it. Maybe I don't know. That's maybe I'm just too Floridian to understand a joke that involves math. And two, this is like a real SAT problem for me.
How do
both of them go up?
Well, okay. So the joke is making fun of the bottom third of Iowa, and it's saying that it is.
Oh, yeah, where are we now? Are we in the upper? Where are the upper two thirds? Nice. How stupid are those people? I bet you they don't even get the Iowa joke. Idiots.
That's it. Okay. I'm from Oklahoma, as I've mentioned on the show before. This makes total sense to me. Total unabrogated sense to me coming to Iowa. It's like Western Oklahoma on steroids. It's great. Like, I could just slip in here. Terrific. Again, your temperature's where it needs to be. Good job, everybody.
Cut the shit. So you obviously love cold weather. You love chilly
weather.
It's
more that I hate hot weather, but
you hate hot weather.
Yes.
Which has made you bedfellows with cold weather.
Yes. This is like, I don't like Nazi Germany, so I've allied with the Soviet Union. That's how I feel about really cold weather. Right now, this cold weather outside, negative 18, that's my Soviet Union, but I will couple with it over 110 degrees of heat.
Okay, yeah, but we're not in 110 degrees. We're in negative 18 degrees.
Yeah.
I think you put on a brave face.
Thanks.
You have not.
I'm a very brave man.
You are.
Yes.
You are. But you have done your best to not act. You've been cute about it. You're like, oh, it's brisk. Oh, this is a very nice time. But this is unbearable for you too, right? Like, your hands hurt when you go outside and take off gloves. Or are you that much of a sociopath?
It is unpleasantly cool. But it's a lot easier for me to handle cold temperatures than hot temperatures. So it's cold, and I don't like. I'd increase it to maybe 40, you know, which is to say by 55 degrees. That being said, though, it just doesn't bother me as much. Although, like, there was this moment earlier today where I thought I was having a stroke, and I wasn't. It's that you can get an ice cream headache from going outside here, which is amazing to me, that your sinuses can literally freeze by walking outside. I've never experienced that before. So I will acknowledge that is uncomfortably cold. But I also feel very strongly that you can really only bitch about one season. And I bitch about summer, so I can't bitch about it being cold. Otherwise,
that's why.
The gods will bring more tornadoes to us, so I'm not going to do that.
This is not the coldest weather I've ever been in. It's among, but not the coldest. Coldest I've ever been in was in Syracuse when it was colder than the surface of Mars for a day. And when I walked outside, my boogers froze so fast, I got a nosebleed.
Wow.
Other than that, that's it. And that was the coldest, hopefully, I'm ever in my entire life. But this has been insane. This has been crazy cold. And this is cold even for Iowa, right? Right? They're all nodding very politely, like Iowans.
Question for you and or the audience.
Yeah.
Show of hands, who's going to caucus tomorrow? Okay. Show of hands.
We have two.
Let me rephrase this. Because I realize that the Democrats aren't doing it, and I don't know if it's an open primary. If you were eligible to caucus, who is eligible to caucus? And this is poor. Who's not eligible to caucus tomorrow? Not eligible. Okay, so of the people that are eligible.
Democrats, get them.
Yeah. It looks to me like everybody who can caucus is going to caucus, or at least like everybody save maybe one. So you are undaunted by the cold? Nice. See, that's my attitude. Yeah. They're not doing it on a basketball court or a golf course or something, right? Like, you guys have heaters here. Yeah. Nice.
So this is the state of play as we record this show. It is indeed caucus eve. So please leave your milk and cookies for Mike Huckabee and all Iowa winners past. But right now we have Donald Trump far and away the leader, according to the Ann Seltzer poll, the Des Moines Register poll, often thought of as the oracle of the Iowa caucus. He's at 48. We have Nikki Haley at 20. And then Ron DeSantis at 16. And then Vivek and Asa Hutchinson playing grab ass somewhere in the single digits.
We currently have a room about the size of the Asa Hutchinson caucus right now. We are actually equal to Asa Hutchinson at the moment.
Which, by the way, I make that joke, and I came all the way out here, and I've skidded on ice roads for the last 48 hours so I could see Asa Hutchinson and Vivek Ramaswamy. Those are the only two people that I've been able to see schedule-wise because everybody else was outside of the Des Moines area.
We saw Steve King, so we got two for one with the Vivek thing.
We did. Yeah. So we saw Steve King, and we saw Vivek. But right now, it looks like there will be a big Trump victory. Heaton, let's go into election analysis. What do you think this means for Iowa, nee the Republic?
All right, Iowans, you would know this better than me. When is the last time that you all selected a candidate who became president? Obama?
Okay. Yeah. It's usually better on the Democratic side than it is on the Republican side for the nomination. But either side, it's not great for the president.
Now, I've been buttering you up. You all saw that, right? You saw that. I was trying real hard. I'm eating corn dogs over here for your amusement. My impression of the Iowa caucuses is that you are not a kingmaker. You are a speed bump. And what I mean
is, I think we got to make it out of here alive, Heats.
I don't think that you are selecting the next president so much as you are winnowing out the weaker candidates. I think you're performing a gatekeeper function more than a kingmaker function. And so the ones that aren't doing that well are going to get bled out and leave. Maybe if they've got a reason, they'll stick around New Hampshire. Although I thought Chris Christie would stick around till New Hampshire, given proximity to his home state. He has not done that. So I think that's what Iowa is. I think Iowa is a sluice gate that gets rid of some of the other candidates there. I think that Trump will almost certainly take it. We've been talking about this, but the Trump people seem to have very enthusiastic voters. So I would anticipate a group not being daunted by the weather would probably be the Trump people. So, like, I don't see this being a thing where if it were like 3% of a lead, maybe, but with a 40% lead, 20% lead.
Yeah.
I would say you'd have to have
28% according to the Seltzer poll.
Unless all of the Trump-heavy parts of Iowa are concentrated around hills where a hydrant has broken and the water is sliding down, I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. There's a slight chance. By the way, all of this I'm stealing from Justin, by the way, in this analysis. So, like, if Justin gets mad, I'm literally taking. There's a slight chance that what could happen is Nikki Haley gets second here. Nikki Haley gets first in New Hampshire, and then it's on to South Carolina, where she is the former governor. And if she were to get it then that would be an actual competitive race, because the inevitability of Trump would conclude at that point, and Republicans might go, oh, we might actually shift our attention to her. That's a pretty big if. I think that that's a... you know, in sports, when something's real unlikely to happen, like,
wait,
you know,
for
like
it. Jesus,
like when you're hailing for Mary on the finish line, the finish line guy.
Did you just call it the finish line?
I am dead sober.
Are you Medea?
The finish line guy. When you're hailing Mary, it's like a hailing Mary situation, right? You all follow me? Yeah.
You know, Panama hailing Mary.
So I don't think that's terribly likely, and I'll add that I'm kind of. I am not a Trump guy, nor have I ever been a Trump guy. I like Nikki Haley, except for her foreign policy. She strikes me as rather hawkish. And so this...
Hawkeye-ish.
So I am... were she to pull it out, a big part of me would go, yay, the Trump has been stopped. Also, we might go to war. So I'm not really sure what... unless Doug Berman pulls off a very unlikely... He's actually in the back. Sorry,
by the way,
Doug,
he made the news today.
Really? What did he do?
Endorse Trump.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Your precious Doug Berman.
The man let me down, and all I ever did to him was not learn his name.
Was consistently call him the wrong name over and over again.
Yeah. I think there's a slight chance that we will get a legitimate Nikki Haley versus Trump one-on-one. I think the energy and the polls are still backing Trump. And I think that as of now, the probability still lies pretty hard on a Biden versus Trump scenario. I had mentioned on a previous episode of this program that I'm not rooting for anybody to die. But I just have to preface that. We should acknowledge that the two front, you know, in sports?
Yeah.
Where the frontliners, you know?
Front liners.
The line. the two frontliners. They're what, 78 and 81 respectively, and The Economist actually did some research into this. The current stats, if you're paying attention to the gambling stats of the lifespan of presidents, puts Biden at a 75% chance of finishing the next 4 years, and Trump at a slightly lower chance. So, could be that one of them has a health thing that drops them out, but as of now, probability wise, probably Trump v. Biden.
Let me ask you guys, Iowans here. We don't normally get to do this with a live crowd, especially one that is very, very educated about what's going to go down tomorrow. I think that considering it's the planet Hoth outside, and it's been like that for the past 72 hours, it's not going to change by tomorrow. The sun isn't going to come out and magically melt all these ice roads that are currently the entirety of all the transit in Iowa. I think it's going to come down to enthusiasm. It's not whether or not you would go out and caucus. It's whether or not you're definitely going to go out and caucus. So if anybody, there is one person here, we asked who was caucusing. Two people immediately shot your hands up. Enthusiastic. The other person went, not enthusiastic, which means at some point, and I would guess it's probably around 5 or 6 o'clock, the sun's going to go down. It's going to get even colder. You're going to take a look outside and go, maybe. And if you were very excited about somebody, then you'd suck it up. You'd say, I need to go do it. The fate of the Republic rests on my hands. I need to go make sure that my will is done. And I just think, at least by the numbers, you got a lot of enthusiastic Trump voters, whatever you might think of them. Iowans here in the room. How many of you have met an enthusiastic Iowan Trump voter in the last 12 months? Hands up. Okay, all but two people who apparently work in academia.
We got a vigorous head nod for people listening at home.
Have met an enthusiastic Trump voter. How many people have met an enthusiastic DeSantis voter in the last 12 months?
We got nothing there.
Not so much, but maybe they're shy. How many have met an enthusiastic Nikki Haley voter in the last 12 months? One, two, three.
We got three, okay.
Well, that would go against my read of it, at least looking at the polls. The polls say that DeSantis voters are more enthusiastic. He is not as well-liked as Donald Trump, but the people that like him really, really like him. They apparently do not come to back pocket pen and pixel. So now we know that. But Nikki Haley voters are
largely, at least according to the most recent polling, a lot of independents and a lot of Democrats. And if that's the case, you got to wonder, how much does an independent or a Democrat really, really, really want Nikki Haley? And are they willing to go skidding down in their Mazda Miata down to the local caucus center so they can make sure that their vote is recorded? Because I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. I don't know if Nikki gets them excited like that. She's only really been pushing in Iowa for the last, you know, month and a half. But we'll see.
Can I ask a dumb question? This is for Justin or the audience, whoever knows. Tomorrow, the caucuses are in the evening. Is this correct?
Yes.
They're not during the day.
No.
So the state of Iowa, which, again, I've said very nice things about, decided that they wanted to limit voting to late January at night. That is, and they did it. The bit that confuses me here is tomorrow not MLK Jr. Day?
It is.
So it is a holiday. I just figured that they did it on MLK Jr. Day so that everybody would be off work, but apparently that's immaterial because it's after work anyway. So are you all, is the idea that you're going to winnow out bad drivers from voting? Like you're just trying to get rid of anybody that you're thinning the herd and you just want people good at directions and navigating ice to participate in democracy?
They're eventually going to put a ramp and a hoop on fire in front of every caucus building. You're going to have to really want it to get in there. Well, you know, the reason why it's earlier and earlier, it didn't always used to be this early. I'm sure for all of you who grew up in Iowa, you have watched this slowly. Eventually, the Iowa caucus will be on New Year's Day. I guarantee you. We will all live to see the Iowa caucus on New Year's Day because by the state's constitution, it has to be earlier. Or is that just New Hampshire? That's New Hampshire. Okay. They're just dogmatic about it. They don't need to put it in writing. They just know it. Okay, yeah, they just insist on going
first.
So
you've got like a spy in New Hampshire, where whenever they do it, like your guy calls them and lets the state capitol know. All right,
and that's what happens. But it will keep pushing forward and forward. It will not let anybody else come before it. And at some point, someone's going to say, "Screw it, we're on January 2nd," and they will say, "We're on New Year's Day." And then somebody will say, "Well, we're on New Year's Day," and they'll say, "Well, we're at 12:01." We're going to have our caucus at 12:01 on New Year's Day. The ball's going to drop, and then everyone's going to vote for Bannon Trump or whoever is running at that point.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Yeah, it sounds like we're there. Yes, race to the bottom, all that.
You came on the campaign trail with me today. Please walk us through Andrew Heaton's experience of a Vivek Ramaswamy rally.
Right, yeah. So previously, having not delved very much into the Vivek candidacy,
Vivek races.
Vivek, excuse me. My impression was that Vivek previously was that Vivek was running as kind of Trump's Renfield in the race because he would never say anything negative about Trump.
For the non-English majors, please explain what a Renfield is.
There's this book called Dracula, and Dracula's a bad dude. And his sidekick, kind of a quarterback character, is a fellow named Renfield, who's like his advance man. Anyway, so I was looking at that. I was very much convinced that Vivek Ramaswamy is running for secretary of something or possibly a book deal. That was very much my interpretation of it. And I didn't like it for that reason because it struck me as very opportunistic. I went into the Vivek rally hoping that I would leave with a higher opinion than I came in with. I consider it actually a personal victory when there's one less person in the world that I hate, and I'm happy to announce that I've gone from disliking Vivek to a firm neutral. I am now neutral on him. I don't actively dislike him the way I previously did.
What changed? What sweet nothings did Vivek Ramaswamy whisper in your ear that made you change your tune?
His position on war. I did appreciate that. I think that he is positioning himself as somebody who is actively looking for peace and negotiation, which I appreciate. I'm not saying there shouldn't be times where we are engaged militarily around the world. Clearly there are, but I think that the default state should be let's be careful. He seems to be moving that direction, which I appreciate, and I'll give credit to any candidate that wants to do that. My overall impression was that about 20% of what Vivek said, I was like, yeah, good point. About 20%, I was like, no. And then about 40% was just regular garden variety political bullshit, which is a pretty good rate for a politician. Hold on, let me get my math here. No, 60%, excuse me. 60% was garden variety bullshit of like, you know, we got to talk about values. I'm like, okay, you can tune that out. I'm up to a neutral. I don't feel like I have to defend that position too hard, do I?
No. Yeah. No. You're allowed to be neutral on Vivek Ramaswamy.
The bit that I actually got pissed off at had nothing to do with Vivek. He was just the arena that took place in. Some of the folks in the media were trying to be in the media, I thought were being we're being spotlight hogs and attempting to hijack the event for their own purposes.
I wouldn't consider. All right. So there was a guy who was right up front and was recording himself with his phone and was interrupting in the Q&A. Eventually, Vivek gave him a question. He asked two super long questions and then kept interjecting, at which point Vivek Ramaswamy has two gears when somebody steps out of line during a Q&A. He either says, thank you, I will get to your question, but I want to respect this person. They get one strike. The second strike is they are dispatched from the deep state to ruin my campaign and the country. And so he immediately went to, okay, well, don't worry. Your bosses are going to give you a really good check mark for ruining everything. But he kept going back and forth, to which Heaton and I were trying to figure out whether or not
is this a crank or a plant?
Yes, crank or plant. But you had the third way, which was YouTuber.
I think it was... The fact that the whole time he was videoing himself rather than any actual interaction with Vivek, the whole thing was on him. This was a me show with Vivek and questions to Vivek clearly as a backdrop. That irritated me. I found it opportunistic. The other bit, and I could be wrong about this, so I'm not – this is speculation. In 2016, when I was covering the race still in a media institution, there were these funny events that kept happening where you might remember this. In the 2016 race – a guy at a Jeb Bush campaign event was like, hey, when do we get paid? We haven't had our checks yet. And Jeb Bush got really angry. He was like, we're not paying people to be here. And they started arguing with him. And then a few days later, a guy accused Marco Rubio of trying to steal his girlfriend. And it turns out this was all part of a Sacha Baron Cohen-style comedy documentary that didn't really pull it off, I think. And there was an event that kind of happened like that earlier today where it was like I could see kind of low-level comedy happening.
Oh, I found out who they were.
Who were they?
The Good Liars. Have anybody? Are you? Anybody
I think
familiar?
Those are the guys. I'm thinking. Yeah. Are they the comedy guys?
They are the guys. Yeah. So at Asa Hutchinson's rally, again, cavalcade of stars for me this weekend. They came up and one of them was whispering to Asa, and then said he was endorsing him, and then the other one came out and said, "And cut, great, let's do it again." I don't think anybody really got it, and Asa Hutchinson, I think, doesn't have anyone on his campaign staff, so it went on like uncomfortably long. Like normally, there's somebody like the same guys tried. They gave Ron DeSantis a participation trophy yesterday, and because Ron DeSantis is paying people, somebody goon-handed the dude like immediately, and you know shuffled him off, but nobody for Asa, and then they did another thing. I forget what did they do with Vivek.
They had a sign or something. They started asking some question and got shut down pretty quick.
Accused of being a part of the deep state.
Yeah, I'm ethnically a comedian, right? I'm ethnically a comedian. I love comedy. I believe in comedy. But if you're going to interrupt an event that other people are taking seriously like that, like if you're going to interrupt a funeral, you better be real fucking funny. That's the rule. If you're going to, like, bust into a funeral and drop a really funny joke, it better kill.
All right, that's the rule. Top funeral joke. Go.
Sorry, I'm late. I got stuck behind this fucking hearse.
I think it's
pretty good, right?
It's
I could be a priest.
It's good, yeah.
yeah, anyway, so I wasn't too impressed with what was going on there. The other bit I'll add, and this is tiptoeing into some, like, sensitive stuff here, Iowans, feel free to correct me on this afterwards because I know not of what I speak, but about 3 or 4 years ago, I did not like Steve King, and I had said some that effect on a show I was doing and kind of got the impression he was racist. However, today he was at the Vivek rally endorsing a brown-skinned Hindu for president, and I think I misread the guy. I was going to go try to find him to apologize, but he took off before I could. But I was like, well, I apparently I got my data wrong on that. So another good thing for me to go back to the car going, no, I don't hate two people.
For the record, he really wanted to go apologize to Steve King. That's not a joke. That's not a bit. He
does not know who I am, by the way.
No.
It's not like this was at a bridge, like we were playing bridge or we were at a wife swap or something. And I was like, hey, I read your comments in National Review, you piece of shit. Yeah. It wasn't like that. It was like just a show, and I was like, ah, that guy.
But no, he wanted to. He was like, do you think he's still here? Can I apologize to him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I very firmly believe that when you're dealing with policy and politics, you should be focusing on the ideas and you should be focusing on the policies. You shouldn't be trying to figure out how to dismiss people. And I feel like I erred into that. And if he's endorsing Vivek Ramaswamy, who is Hindu and of Indian descent, then that would be a pretty big contradiction to my earlier assessment.
Because normally he would go, ew, gross.
So this is several. I also
had a racist
thought of Steve King since the year 2017. So it's been a few years, too. I don't have a very big Steve King file in my head, just so you know.
Hey, gang, real quick break here. Your old pal, Justin Robert Young. So, of course, we want to remind you that patreon.com/we're not wrong is where you can support this show. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the shows that we have done on the road are live and free. So to bring you a live show, it means that we all got to travel out there. We got to stay in hotels. We got to book flights. And we love doing it because we love meeting all of you guys. And we really, really want to continue to build up the excitement that exists around this show. So we want to remind you that you can monetarily support the show, patreon.com/we're not wrong. But of course, we don't just ask you money for free. No, you get something for it. Get a bonus episode. And this is a very rare and important bonus episode because this is the first time we have ever done the show without Jen Briney, the one that you're listening to right now, because she had a health situation that she had to deal with. But if you're a patron, you don't go a week without Jen. No, 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 no. The Patreon episode has Jen on it. We just recorded it, and we go over the emails that you guys sent in last week. It's a really good one. It redelves into the diversity, equity, and inclusion issues that we covered in last week's episode. Normally, we do not like to do that. We don't like to put emails from the main show on the Patreon. We kind of keep them separated like The Offspring. However, we really wanted to go over this. We didn't want to wait another week, and this is just the place to do it. So patreon.com/we're not wrong is where you need to go if you want to support the show and get that bonus episode. And all the Jen junkies out there, get your fix. But unfortunately, we're that mean drug dealer in the movie that's going to make you pay for it. patreon.com/we're not wrong. The other big story here that has broken over the last 48 hours is involving Vivek, a schism, a fight. You said it was Vivek was the Renfield to Trump's Dracula.
I went to college.
Well, apparently the master has slapped down the apprentice. Now a feud. Donald Trump on Truth Social saying that Vivek was a sly politician. Don't waste your vote. And he is not MAGA. One of Trump's top strategists going even further, saying that Vivek was the biggest fraud of the election because Vivek took a picture with a bunch of supporters that had a picture of Donald Trump's mugshot in the state of Iowa that said, "Save Trump, vote Vivek." That apparently did not rub Trump the right way. And furthermore, it's kind of come to light that part of it is also that in Vivek's stump speech, he talks and alludes to the idea that Donald Trump will not be able to win the general election because the deep state will stop him and they're going to throw whatever people and resources at making sure he's not president. And that's the reason why you need to vote and caucus for Vivek. So what do you think about this America First schism, Andrew Heaton?
Well, technically and officially, they're not on the same campaign. Even though it sure appears that way, given that I have yet to hear Vivek say literally anything negative about Donald Trump, to the point of I would make a better president. He hasn't even said that. He's just said he's not going to win, therefore you should elect me to carry on the legacy. Not even he's a great guy, but I would be a better candidate. He's not even gone that far, right? So he appears to be campaigning on his behalf. My interpretation is not even terribly politique. I think it's pretty simple. Trump views people as disposable. And the reason I say that is, do you know who does not like Donald Trump? Anybody who's worked for him. There are, I believe, 51 people that have served in his cabinet during his that served at various posts in his cabinet. Four of the 51 people that were appointed by him to a cabinet position have endorsed him. Four out of 51 that have been cabinet position. That's very telling to me. And I when you look at him, he goes through people very quickly. He goes through staffers very quickly. And when they're no longer useful or they're the slightest bit irritating, they're thrown under the bus and they move on. And so the fact that Vivek is not an actual staffer or campaign proxy, but is just sort of buddies with him in a tactical, temporary sense, it does not surprise me at all he would throw him under the bus.
What's fascinating to me about this is that Vivek does attract very, very passionate fans. Like the people that were at that Grimaldi's Pizza in Ankeny today were very passionate. Yeah. Like there were multiple USA, USA, USA chants, unironic USA chants that broke out in that small pizzeria. They really like him. They really do believe in him. I think if Vivek wants to stay in politics, which I'm not convinced he does, then he will have a constituency. And he probably has a shot at inheriting some of Trump's, because we can probably surmise that short of a cyborg version, oh, this is probably Trump's last election. That being said, he is there for the conspiratorially minded. And obviously there's an element of Trump's base that is a bit conspiratorially minded, and sometimes they have been proven right because things that Trump has said has wound up coming more true than you would think about it at first blush. But it's fascinating to me that Donald Trump would gatekeep his most conspiratorially minded element of his base. That if the reason why Vivek is drawing them away is because he's like, the deep state is going to kill Donald Trump. And some people are like, you're right. I do need to vote for you. Trump's like, nope, don't take them. We need them. We need those guys. Those are very, very important to me. We need the people that are really, really along the ride for no matter what. This is the buckle up. We are on the MAGA train forever.
Do you know what would actually alleviate most of the tension between Vivek Ramaswamy and Trump at this moment?
What's that?
Ranked choice voting. Here's why.
Fuck Jesus.
If ranked choice voting were implemented in Iowa, you could just rank whoever you want and both of them would be fine with it. Put one as number one, put the other one as number two. They could be buddies.
If I have to hang myself for hearing this spiel for the millionth time, just put my body outside so my family can collect it. It'll remain fresh.
What was Vivek's interpretation of the fallout with Trump?
So during the press
again, I want to note, it's very odd for candidates to be allied candidates. This is not normal, particularly in a winner-takes-all system. But what was his interpretation?
Yeah, so during the press scrum, he was asked about it, and he said that Trump got bad advice. So he did not think that it was smart.
If only the czar knew. Yes, if only the czar knew. The czar's a good guy. It's the Boyers. Boyers are the problem.
Which is odd because He initially got into trouble with Trump because he was sidelining Trump. He was saying, like I can save Trump, as if Trump could not save himself. And then his reasoning for why that was happening is because Trump is too stupid to run his own campaign. And so there was a bunch of agitators that got him all gassed up. He's probably all cooped up there in his hotel. He hasn't been doing a lot of campaign events. Just wired on Diet Cokes, and he's... You know, somebody starts saying, oh, you know who's talking shit? Vivek. And he's like, really? Well, give me my phone. I'm going to light this motherfucker up. Beep, bop, boop, send. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wonder, because it ruins one of my big predictions, that tomorrow night, Vivek's going to come in fourth, and it's going to be very clear that party's over, pal. Spoiler alert, I have heard through the grapevine that he has stopped paying his pollsters. which is usually one of the, you know, signs that the campaign is in hospice.
He's not wearing the wedding ring anymore. What does
exactly.
that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird. When he goes out, he doesn't wear the wedding ring. Huh.
So I think he's going to be done tomorrow night, I would assume. And I would guess it was going to be one of the weirder scenes in politics where somebody would drop out. And normally, all of these clips are always the same when somebody drops out. It's like, we did a great job. Yay! Like, your name, your name, your name. Then it's like, however, and then there's always one person. No! Like... It's like, I'm sorry, but we're unable. It's not our time. Like, oh, there's wailing, gnashing of teeth. And then they say. And
the
then
people
they,
have spoken, not yet.
People have spoken. Yes. Yeah. Tim Scott. Uh-huh. Yeah. Not yet. Not only what America thinks about his presidential chances, but also his answer if you can see his girlfriend.
Although with Vivek, and I like, I have this is with all politicians, by the way. I have this cognitive dissonance where, on the one hand, I really hate it when they lie to me, but on the other hand, there's this like smooth politician speak that like I find soothing. One of the last questions that was asked at that rally was, you know, you have lots of energy, and I really enjoy what you stand for. But how do we know that you're actually going to see this through November? You know, are you going to drop out after New Hampshire?
His response,
and I'll say this almost verbatim, was, I'm telling you right now, we're going to go not just here, not through November, we're going all the way through January in the year 2028 when I end my second term, like
no,
that.
2032.
Yeah. So like, just like, and I was like, oh, okay. That's the canned bit. That's the, you know, because like a really honest answer would be like, you know, we're behind. I think we can pick it up. And I'm like, we're in it at least till South Carolina. And I think that we're going to get that momentum by that. But yeah, I'm, you know, by the time we got a moon base, I'm like, nope, you've jumped the shark.
No. Yeah. So. Here's another thing that normally happens. We're in the real doth protest too much part of the campaign, where a lot of people, earnest Q&A, especially in a place like Iowa, that does not give a shit. They have seen every presidential candidate, and they will ask direct questions, and they don't really care whether or not you like it or not. Asa got one. Vivek got one. What are you going to do when you lose? Asa was like, well, you know, he actually had a really funny line last night. I always think with campaigns that you want to keep expectations low, and I've done a really good job of that. but he was funny. He, you know, said, like, I'm definitely in it. Okay. Vivek said, like Andrew went over, not now, not South Carolina, not the general election. Two terms
later. We will fly to Guam. We will fly to the Marshall Islands.
And so the more you protest about how you're not getting out of the race, the more you know that you're definitely getting out of the race. So
Who all do you think is dropping out tomorrow?
I mean, Asa should have dropped out 5 months ago. I have no idea why he's still in the race. Vivek, I think, drops out tomorrow. And if Ron DeSantis comes in third, I think he drops out. Mark Caputo of The Messenger had a quote on Twitter yesterday, an anonymous quote from one of Ron DeSantis' donors that said, if he comes in third, he needs to eat the shit sandwich all at once and drop out instead of cutting it up into pieces and eating it over the next 3 weeks, which is an extraordinarily evocative quote. I was very excited to read it, but I do agree. I think that DeSantis is cooked unless, I mean, sorry, end of sentence. DeSantis is cooked, period. Furthermore, he is specifically out of the race if he finishes in third. And to be totally honest, if let's say this is something where the Trump enthusiasm is off the charts, this is a record-breaking blockbuster Iowa caucus for Trump, he's at 60, Nikki and DeSantis are like 10 and 11 or something like that, then he should probably drop out even if he's nominally ahead of Nikki Haley. I think that it's pretty much, it's curtains for him.
Where she's got a play to stick around to South Carolina?
Well, so as I've said in other shows and on, I think I said it on We're Not Wrong, Haley has the savage path, 21-21, to walk, which is second here, first in New Hampshire, second in Nevada, which is a total shit show for other reasons, and then first in South Carolina. If she can do that, she earns the right to lose to Trump on Super Tuesday and in the delegate fight, because she's going to be winning in two very special circumstances. New Hampshire is an open primary, so independents and Democrats can vote and do often, especially when it's not a double party primary. And South Carolina is more conservative, but she's a universal name ID former governor. So how do you play in Texas? How do you play in some of these other states that Trump is just far and away a leader in? You're not going to have a special power in either or in any of these future states like you did in the other one. So we'll see, but that would be the only way to make it really interesting, is that Nikki Haley comes in a strong second place tomorrow night and then first in New Hampshire. And it would be even more interesting if she really punches him in the mouth, but we'll see.
Okay, so theoretical scenario for you.
Wait, let me finish my vague thought. The odd thing that would happen is, in that moment of mournful sorrow that normally happens when a candidate drops out, where it's like awake immediately, very rarely would you see what I think might happen with Vivek, where he drops out and then endorses Trump immediately and the crowd goes wild and gets like really excited. Because I do think that a Vivek crowd, if he drops out and said, I'm on Team Trump, the Trump train's going back to the White House, I'll make sure the deep state doesn't knock him out, that crowd would be really, really into it, because the Vivek voters and the Trump voters are two flavors of the same ice cream.
I think you're right. This is a unlikely scenario, but one that's possible. Let's say that Nikki Haley rallies in South Carolina. She takes New Hampshire. And by some crazy measure, Nikki Haley takes the Republican nomination.
Okay.
At that point,
yeah,
does former President Donald Trump come out and congratulate her and fade into the sunset, or run as an independent? Because I know I think he would do.
Well, the first one is definitely not happening. I don't know. I think he might try to relitigate the elections. He might say that the elections were rigged. We might see the first riots at a convention since the Democrats did it back to back in the 60s. So, I think it's highly unlikely. I don't think Trump goes quietly. There's zero chance Trump does anything quietly ever. So I don't know why he would start.
Although I will say, very weirdly, like, there was this glimmer of alternate universe Trump right here in Iowa 8 years ago, or whatever 2016 was, where Ted Cruz won Iowa in 2016. Did he not? Was it Ted Cruz?
Any Cruz heads in the house? Cruisers? No? No?
Cruz won, and we still weren't quite sure about Trump. You know, we were 80% sure about Trump back in 2016, but there was 20% of like, maybe he's Andy Kaufman. Who knows? When Ted Cruz went, he came out and Trump gave this really nice acceptance, or not acceptance,
concessions,
and he went,
yeah.
I won't do the impression, but he went, hey, Ted Cruz, congratulations to him. His people worked really, really hard. They deserve this. They did a good job. And he was just genial, and I was like, oh my god, that might be the real Trump. The other thing might be, and I've never seen it. I take that back. You know what?
When he beat Hillary Clinton,
he did the same thing. But those are the only two times I can recall seeing him like quietly doing something. But I don't think if he lost to Nikki Haley, that would be the case.
You want to know what? Well, if we're doing these during the early states, maybe we should have a chicanery corner, because every one of these early states has a story of dirty tricks and chicanery. Do you know or remember the chicanery that happened in that election, that 2016 election?
In Iowa or
in Iowa, the Iowa caucus?
No, I don't recall.
So the Iowa caucus at that point was pretty much a three-way race. Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump. Trump had led, Cruz was surging, and Rubio was surging at the same time. But at one point during the summer, the leader in Iowa was Dr. Ben Carson. So Ben Carson was still in the race during the caucus, and there was a text message that was circulating that Ben Carson had dropped out the day of the caucus. And the assumption was that Ben Carson voters would vote for Ted Cruz. And so the Trump people got very mad, said this was a dirty trick, that the Cruz people had sent out this fake text message that said that Ben Carson had dropped out. And that's why they blamed Trump losing the Iowa caucus in 2016.
Would not have these dupes have realized he was still in the race when they got to the caucus?
No. Nope.
Do they not tell
the
you
internet
the
was not
are?
Invented in Iowa until 2017. Another fun fact.
All right. There you go. There
yeah.
you go. Yeah.
No, so yeah, they were like, oh, it's heat of the moment. People are in these caucus areas. We found out in a YouTube video we watched at a cigar bar today that one of the things you should know about Iowa is don't expect cell service everywhere. That it is, and so maybe that's what they were taking advantage of was that, like, oh, well, you just get this text message that Ben Carson dropped out. Another fun fact, you want to know why Ben Carson voters were thought to be Ted Cruz voters?
Why?
Because Donald Trump went up on stage in Iowa and called Ben Carson's entire life story a lie.
Oh.
Including in Ben Carson's autobiography, which was made into a movie starring
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. One of the big moments in that is a wayward Ben Carson tries to stab his friend with a knife. And so he goes and tries to stab him with a knife, but God guided the knife into his friend's belt buckle, and the knife itself fell apart. The knife, the blade fell off from the handle. Ben Carson realized, this stab in life isn't for me unless it's into the brain where I can create beautiful miracles with my hands. And so it's a great clip. You should watch it. Trump does this. It was one of those times where people were just starting to realize Donald Trump is who he is, but also his performance art. You can't deny. He's like getting out and he's like he said he punches him right in the belt buckle. How does that even work? And he's taking his belt off and doing weird shit. But anyway, because of all that, Ben Carson voters were thought to be never Trumpers and they would vote for Ted Cruz.
All right.
Anyway. Iowa facts. Doo doo doo.
Also, sliced bread invented here.
Got
right. Some head nods from the audience of people that were like, hell yeah, sliced bread comes from Iowa. Don't you forget. Go Hawkeyes.
We are coming up here to the end. This is about when we normally do emails, but because Jen is unfortunately not able to be here, she does send all of her best. She is the most jealous that she is not here.
And she endorsed Vivek right before we came over here. It was very strange. I did not anticipate that at all. I mean, if she were here, she'd back me up on it 100%. It was very strange. I didn't see that coming.
So we don't want to read emails, but we will take any questions that you guys have either about the caucus or anything else. We have a mic over here. So if anybody wants to come up and get this party started, it really only takes one of you for me to stop filibustering. But we can go ahead and do that.
That guy.
There we go.
What's your name, young man?
Oh, hi, sir.
Patrick Bennett.
Hello, Patrick Bennett.
Hi, Pat.
Hey. So with caucuses, it's not really a lesser of two evils question. I'm just going to walk in because I like to primary and pick just whoever the least shitty candidate is.
Okay.
Who you got?
Wait, hold on. Wait, are
for
you...
For your money.
Oh, no. We're not telling you who to caucus for?
Oh, I don't give a shit.
Are you going to... If we
yeah,
told
I'm gonna,
you...
I'm going to caucus. Just haven't picked yet because they're all scum, so...
Okay. Yeah. Wait, are you eligible to do that? How does that work? By the way, eat the mic so people can hear you.
Oh, sorry.
How does that work? How do you... Do you have to register as a Republican to do
oh,
it?
Oh, we register day of.
What was that?
I walk into the caucus and they're like, hey, are you a Republican? I'm like, sure.
Okay.
For today, I'm a Republican. Why not?
By the way, I think that this should be more common. Like, I was at Burning Man a few years ago, and I was talking to a guy there, and I mentioned that I was in Texas, and just first thing he goes, man, I really want to move there to keep the blue wave going. You know, we nearly got Beto, and I've thought about moving to Texas so I could vote Democrat. And I was like, why don't you just become a Republican in your state? Because then and he was like, no. And I was like, but it's not a religion. It's just a vehicle to get policies and shit done. So I like that you're doing that. I am fortunately not pressed with this, but I'll tell you the two that I would be thinking about would be Vivek and Nikki Haley. And the two reasons for this are I would love to have an accountant in the White House. I think that would be terrific. Somebody who actually deals with math. That's great.
I like Nikki Haley except for the foreign policy. That bothers me. I like Vivek's foreign policy and his apparently position on eminent domain, which was elaborated on quite a lot, and a couple of other things, but I find him more irritating. And so I'm dealing with what a lot of white suburbanite people have to deal with, which is how much does the rhetoric bother me versus the killing people bother me?
Did you catch his Ukraine answer on the fifth column?
No, I did not.
Oh, he was basically give Russia whatever they want, and then the Ukrainians just stop shooting back.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
maybe
his,
I'm misquoting
his answer
that.
Today, what do you give? Yeah, his answer today on that was Trumpian in like we're gonna make a deal, blah blah blah. But his big thing is China. It was like when Obama was going to pull out of Afghanistan, but that meant that he had to be. No, he was going to pull out of Iraq, and that means he had to be hard on Afghanistan. Maybe I'm mixing those up. He was like, we're pulling out of one. It's been long enough. But also the other one, triple the people. I'm not weak like you're weak.
That was one of the things.
So anyway, Vivek's like that with China.
One of the things that was one of the things that bothered me with Vivek was he was said like, on the one hand, you know, we're going to do, I can't remember, something that was good on freedom or trade or something, but also economic independence from China. And that sounds to me like protectionism. That sounds to me like tariffs, which I think is a horrible, horrible idea for multiple reasons. And I realize that, you know, free trade and neoliberalism are becoming persona non grata and the bete noire of Washington, D.C., and everybody wants to go there. I'm not one of them. So that bothered me. In terms of the other candidates, my position on Trump remains undaunted. I would not vote for Trump. It would be a very interesting election for me to vote for Trump, but I would have a difficult time thinking of who I would have to have up against him. DeSantis may be at some point. I think DeSantis is a very intelligent guy. He's Harvard, and then he did JAG. I mean, you're not an idiot if you do those things.
He was on the show?
He's on the show, JAG. But he went for, like, initially when I started looking at him, I was like, oh, smart pro-freedom policy wonk guy. And then from what I can tell, just descended into culture war dude. And I don't like the culture war stuff. I think it's really stupid, and I don't want to reward it. So from where I'm at, it would be Nikki Haley and Vivek, and it would probably come down to how hawkish I seriously thought she would be. Can I ask what you're leaning towards?
Pretty much Nikki Haley, but that's a really soft answer. I basically just asked the question because I wanted to break the ice for these guys.
Hey, thank you. Good. I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. Well, now, all right. But if it's Nikki Haley, how excited? I don't think you were here at the beginning where we were having this exact conversation, because Nikki Haley relies on you, the yous of Iowa, going out and voting for her, caucusing for her tomorrow, because that's where her coalition is. She has a lot of independents and a lot of Democrats that she needs to get to the number that she's at right now. But with the weather the way it is, like, and you didn't seem super thrilled about doing it. I mean, you asked a bunch of podcast hosts what we thought before going forward. So are you 100% that you're going to caucus? Or are you like, we'll see about 5:30?
So I caucused for the Democrats in 2016.
Uh-huh.
Or sorry, no, 2020. And I went down with the Andrew Yang ship.
Yeah,
I wasn't. I mean,
good man.
I love Andrew Yang as a person. Policy wise, we got some differences.
I 80% like this policies, 20% don't like his policies.
Like I said, I just caucus for one of the two main parties, whichever one comes up first, whoever has the least terrible candidate. Because, you know, in the general election, I'm gonna put my vote out for who I actually want to win. But for primaries, yeah, I'll just go for who doesn't suck that I would be okay with being president.
Have you ever just skated from campaign event to get free food?
All the time, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was the plan. I was actually going to go to Nikki Haley's last night, but we had a blizzard and I shoveled snow for 3.5 hours.
Can I make my Nikki pitch? This is my
go for it.
Nikki pitch. To otherwise, I don't think you're a Trump voter based on everything you said. However, for Trump voters, though, embracing my inner Trump for a moment, something that I don't normally do or readily do. If you want to make Democrats...
Ranked choice voting. Very simple.
If you want to make... like, because there are a lot of... Scott Linsicum, I think, very adroitly assessed American politics as about half of blue team hates markets and about half of red team hates blue team. I think that that's one of the smartest things I've ever heard in my life at looking at the American political landscape. So about half of Republicans just really don't like Democrats and vote to piss them off. So if you're one of those people, if you vote for Trump, you're going to scare the Democrats. But if you just want to irritate the shit out of them, vote for Nikki Haley. Because if the Republicans got in a brown woman as the first woman president, and she was a Republican, that would piss off the Democrats for goddamned ever. It would be the most irritating thing in the fucking world if Republicans could always go, we elected the first woman, remember? She wasn't white, remember that?
Yeah.
They would fucking hate that. So, like, that's, like, any of the Trump trolls, that's what you should be leading into.
You know, the Democrats would be pissed because they want to elect the first woman of color as Madam President. They want to elect the first woman president. But you know who'd be thrilled? Pete. He'd like, now's my time. My time. Now it's only the gay guy. That's the next big first. Spotlight's on Pete.
I don't know. I think you're underestimating their ability to completely ignore somebody. Just ask Sandra Day O'Connor. Because nobody remembers she was the first lady on the Supreme Court. Everyone just talks about RBG.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Wow. All right.
It'll be really important when the Democrats put a black man on the Supreme Court. Finally.
It'll be super, super their thing. Yeah.
Be a big day. Big day for America.
I'll cede the mic to whoever else wants it.
Thank you very much. Thank
you,
Patrick.
Somebody else was about to walk up here. Come on. Be brave.
Also, I know that at least two of you are like really stifling something inside of you, and I encourage you to come up.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But
no,
we're bringing everybody up here. All right. What's up?
What's your name, James?
I'm James.
Okay.
Hey.
So if it does go down to Trump v. Biden, Grandpa Trump, Grandpa Biden, which one are you going to choose? Who's the third party? Is there a third party? Is there somebody else
Multiple.
Yeah.
Multiple third parties.
Who's going to emerge? What do you guys think?
Well, right now, in terms of polling, it's the gravelly voice of Robert Kennedy Jr., who is leading amongst third party candidates, which is really, really interesting because, you know, the Kennedy brand is still the Kennedy brand. You know, if you run that nationwide and you put it on, you know, the ballots for most of the country, it'll be curious to see just people who are like, oh, I know that. Boop. I don't like these other two. But other than that, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Cornel West may or may not be running. Oh, actually,
I was sad he didn't go green. Like, that made a lot of sense to me. Because like, he's a known name. He's an established guy. Green is a party that has much more electoral reach.
I think Jill Stein is running again on the green ticket.
Is she? Okay.
Yeah. So he shuffled off that. But there is one rumor that broke today. So let's say Nikki Haley does good but isn't the choice. There is an organization that has secured ballot access for most of the country and is a machine waiting for a leader, and that is the No Labels Party. The rumor today, because Larry Hogan, current governor of Maryland, he endorsed Nikki Haley today.
He's brothers with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, brother, what you gonna do? So the rumor is that she's not gonna make it, but she can parachute right into a third party thing that could have a wider base that wouldn't have to go through the Republican machine. Now, it would involve Nikki Haley effectively ceding any hope she ever had of the Republican nomination, and we'll see, you know, whether or not she wants to do that. Although, if anybody could totally renounce being a Republican and then just waltz back into the party as if nothing happened, it would be Nikki Haley, who's been on every side of every issue over the last 10 years.
Would it be her that would be on the ticket, or would it be Hogan?
Her.
Why not Hogan? Didn't he step down as chair of No Labels? That would indicate to me he's planning something.
Yes, but then he endorsed Nikki Haley. And so that's why all these rumors started.
I read that as him saying, if Nikki Haley takes the nomination, we will stand down. If she doesn't, I'll stand up.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't think the other ones have really clarified. I don't think the Libertarians have picked a candidate yet. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think they have.
The comic guy isn't running.
No, Dave Smith is not running.
That, but he's not.
No, Dave Smith's not running. I don't know who the Libertarian candidate's going to be. Back in 2016, it wasn't foregone that Gary Johnson was going to get it, but it was a pretty clear bet that he was going to take it. I don't know who they're going to do. I would keep your eyes on No Labels. and the libertarians, or the Greens, if you're more on ecological progressive side of it.
The libertarians should just give up the ghost and run a sentient fedora.
I think the no labels one would be the one that would be more interesting to me. The Libertarian Party's grown, I think, a little bit, but it's very incremental progress. So unless something really, really changes, they're not likely to be a huge game changer. I would have thought if ever there were a time that the Libertarians were going to take a bunch of people from another party, would have been 2016, when they had Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, who you hate, on the ticket.
Low moral character.
It did not
happen.
Low
moral character, Bill Weld.
So what we tend to be doing with the third-party candidates is the third-party candidacies tend to be way more ideologically focused and appealing to people that don't fit at all with the Republicans or the Democrats. So we're basically playing to the edges of either party. What we haven't done is attempted to have a third-party candidate running as a centrist. I don't know whether that would work or wouldn't. Probably wouldn't work since third parties generally don't. But there have been attempts that I thought were very interesting. What was the Reform Party turned into, I can't even remember the name now, America Something Party. And what they did that was very interesting last time with Rocky LaFuente, who I know nothing about, is they
De
went,
La Fuente.
De La Fuente. They went to every little, like, state third party. So they went to, like, the Minnesota Garden Gnome Party and the Illinois People's Free Soil and Labor Party, and they went, do you want to join our thing? And they cobbled together an electoral map on that, and then their plan was to run a centrist candidate. I would like to see what would happen, and no labels might be that. That could shake up the equation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There we go. All right. Anybody else? Come on up. Come on up. For audio listeners, this man came in, and he looks dapper as hell, and we immediately knew he was here for Andrew Heaton.
That's what I was hoping, but I asked him, and he said he's a joint listener.
Good.
He's a dual listener.
Brushwood brought me back into both of y'all, actually.
Nice. Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah. Look at that. Big shout out to Brian.
Yeah.
Democrats have more central power inside the party themselves, or at least used to as super delegates and things like that. Is there any sort of internal political control within the party that could keep Trump from taking the nomination?
No.
Look, I mean, that would have been 2016 if they'd been able to do it. Like 2016, there was a great article in The Onion that came out back in 2016 of Republican establishment invents new form of math to show why Trump will lose. The establishment hated Donald Trump. People forget how much the Republican Party despised Donald Trump. To go back to your earlier question, James, Donald Trump was effectively a third party candidate that took over the Republican Party. He's not my third party candidate, but that's effectively what happened. He was an insurgent candidate that took over the Republican Party, very much opposed to the establishment. If they couldn't keep him out in 2016, they're definitely not going to keep him out now, particularly when they're all too afraid to criticize him publicly. I don't think there's any power play that they're willing to do.
Well, and I also really don't like that framing of it, that, like, oh, people are afraid to criticize him. Because it makes it seem like he's just a guy that they don't want to offend. He is somebody that's 80% popular within the party.
They're afraid to piss off his voters who are their voters.
Or
yes.
The vast majority of the voters in that party. So it's like what he did in 2016 was something that nobody in power wanted to. When we were driving on the way here, one of the things that I'm like, you know, the Democrats have yet to get over. The Republicans got over in 2016. Like it or hate Trump, he basically declared bankruptcy on favors in the Republican Party, a chain that had built up since, like, Lincoln, of somebody owes somebody, and you were your guy's mentor, so I'm going to bring up this person. The Republicans were far more regimented about that than the Democrats were. They have little mini revolutions, but in general, the same kind of people sort of stay around, and the Democrats have become far more linear over the last 15 years. Like, you've seen less bloodshed since Clinton. Like, yeah, the Clintons and the Obamas fought, but a lot of the same people kind of intermingled and then ran Hillary, and now a lot of them are there with Biden. Eventually, something's going to happen in the Democratic Party where they throw everything off the table and they kind of declare bankruptcy on favors. But for right now, if the Republicans couldn't do it in 2016, when you still had all that firepower, you still had all that control, then it can't happen now.
Iron fenced of Reince Priebus back when he was a power monger.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and they had no idea what to do. They had, when I covered the 2016 RNC in Cleveland, it was like going to a wake. You know, when you were at the bars afterward and you were talking to people, it was just a bunch of folks wearing ill-fitting suits that thought that the party had just hung itself in the rafters of the Cleveland Cavaliers arena. And then they won. So, and I'm sure that was a great surprise to them. But yeah, so yeah, no, there's no valve within the Republican Party that I think can do anything. It would just be Nikki Haley, all on the shoulders of Nikki Haley.
I think
closing
up. I was going to say, like, we could ask if there's any general questions. If anybody has questions on stuff that's generally in the show not related to the Iowa caucus, we could do that too. Zoning. How you feel about
ranked choice voting?
Cold showers, yeah. Like quadratic voting.
Uh-huh.
Talk about that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I think they're sated.
I think we're good.
Yeah. All right.
I think we're good. I think everybody's looking out of the roads and saying, like,
oh right, that
can ice over more? Is it possible that it can go through quantum ice? Sports question of the week. Heaton?
Yes.
Now, obviously, here in Iowa, they love their college sports.
Sure do.
And there
go Hawkeyes.
And there's no bigger star than this player on the Iowa women's basketball team.
Cindy Dayford McGillicuddy is a rising star nationally and a well-known person in Iowa, as well she should be. Cindy Dayford McGillicuddy, you all know who she is, clearly. And everyone in America will know who this young woman is, not just because of her incredible sportsmanship and athletic prowess, but because of who she is as a person, which inspires me and inspires everyone, in my humble opinion.
And I would correct him, but I forgot her name, too. We're Not Wrong is a production of Dog and Pony Show Audio. We are normally edited by Will Saddleberg. Can we please give a big round of applause for Jen Briney, who was very unfortunately not able to make it here. But for Andrew Heaton, I'm Justin Robert Young, reminding you that we're not wrong.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.